Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 14, King Pururava, enchanted by Urvasi. Text 24 through 36. So 24 is on the board. We'll chant that together. Taya, taya sa purusha shresto. Ramayantya yatarhataha Rame Kamam by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "The best of human beings, Pururava, began freely enjoying the company of Urvashi, who engaged in sexual activities with him in many celestial places, such as Chaitrarata and Nanda Kanana, where the demigods enjoy." I'll read these other texts just myself. Text 25. Rama Manas Taya Devya Padma Kinjalka Gandaya Tan mukamoda mushito mumude aharganan bahun. Translation, Urvashi's body was as fragrant as the saffron of a lotus. Being enlivened by the fragrance of her face and body, Pururava enjoyed her company for many days with great jubilation. Text 26. Apashyan Urvashim Indro Gandharvan Samachodayat Urvashi Rahitam Mayam Astanam Nati Shobate. Translation, not seeing Urvashi in his assembly, the King of Heaven, Lord Indra, said, Without Urvashi, my assembly is no longer beautiful. Considering this, he requested the Gandharvas to bring her back to his heavenly planet. Text 27. Te upetya maharatre tamasi pratyupashtite urvashya uranau jahur nyastau rajani jayaya. Translation, the Gandharvas came to earth. Thus the Gandharvas came to earth, and at midnight, when everything was dark, they appeared in the house of Pururava and stole the two lambs entrusted to the king by his wife, Urvashi. Purport. The dead of night refers to midnight. The Maha Nisha is described in the Smriti mantra, Mahanishadve Gatike Ratrer Madhyama Yamayaho. 12 o'clock midnight is called the dead of night. Text 28. Nishamya Kranditam Devi Putrayor Niyamanayaho Hatashmi Aham Kunatena Napumsa Viramanina. Translation, Urvashi treated the two lambs like her two sons. Therefore, when they were being taken by the Gandharvas and began crying, Urvashi heard them and rebuked her husband. "Now I am being killed," she said, "under the protection of an unworthy husband who is a coward and a eunuch, although he thinks himself a great hero." Text 29. Yadvishram bat aham nashta hritapatya chadas yubihi yashe te nishi santrashto yata nari diva puman. Urvashi continues, Because I depended on him, the plunderers have deprived me of my two sons, the lambs, and therefore I am now lost. My husband lies down at night in fear, exactly like a woman, although he appears to be a man during the day. Text 30. Iti vak sayakair vidha pratotrayar eva kunjaraha nishi nishtrimsam adaya vivastro vyadravat rusa. Translation. Pururava, stricken by the sharp words of Ravashi, like an elephant struck by its driver's pointed rod, became very angry. Not even dressing himself properly, he took a sword in hand and went out naked into the night to follow the Gandharvas who had stolen the lambs. Text 31. Te vishrijaranau tatra vyadyotanta sma vidyutaha adaya meshau ayantam nagnam aikshata sa patim. Translation. After giving up the two lambs, the Gandharva shone brightly like lightning. The Gandharvas shone brightly like lightning, thus illuminating the house of Pururava. Urvashi then saw her husband returning with the lambs in hand, but he was naked, and therefore she left. You know, there had been some agreement, and you know, she should never see him naked. Text 32. Ailapi shayana jayam apashyan vimana iva tachchita vifala sochan babra mon mai mat Babramon Matavan Mahim. Translation. No longer seeing Urvashi on his bed, Pururava was most aggrieved. Because of his great attraction for her, he was very much disturbed. Thus lamenting, he began traveling about the earth like a madman. Satam viksha kurukshetre sarasvatyam chatat saki pancha prakrishta vadanaha praha suktam pururabha. Translation. Once during his travels all over the world, Pururava saw Urvashi accompanied by five companions on the bank of the Sarasvati at Kurukshetra. With jubilation in his face, he then spoke to her in sweet words as follows. Text 34. Aho jaye tishta tishta gore natyaktum arhasi mamtvam adyapi anivritya vachamsi Krina Vavahai. Translation. O my dear wife, O most cruel one, kindly stay, kindly stay. I know that I have never made you happy until now, but you should not give me up for that reason. This is not proper for you. Even if you have decided to give up my company, let us nonetheless talk for some time. Text 35. Sudeho yam patat atra devi duram hritas tvaya khadanti enam vrika gridras tvat prasadasya nas padam. Translation. O goddess, now that you have refused me, my beautiful body will fall down here, and because it is unsuitable for your pleasure, it will be eaten by foxes and vultures. Urvashyuvacha. Mamrita purusho si tvam Masma tvadyur vrika ime kvapi sakyam navai srinam vrikanam hridayam yata. Translation. Urvashi said, "My dear king, you're a man, a hero. Don't be impatient and give up your life. Be sober and don't allow the senses to overcome you like foxes. Don't let the foxes eat you. In other words, you should not be controlled by your senses. Rather, you should know that the heart of a woman is like that of a fox. There is no use making friendship with women." Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Chanakya Pandit has advised, Vishvaso naiva kartavya strishu rajakulesha cha. Quote, "Never place your faith in a woman or a politician. Unless one is elevated to spiritual consciousness, everyone is conditioned and fallen, what to speak of women who are less intelligent than men. Women have been compared to sudras and vaishyas, striyo vaishyas tata sudra. On the spiritual platform, however, when one is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, whether one is a man, woman, sudra, or whatever, everyone is equal. Otherwise, Urvashi, who was a woman herself and who knew the nature of women, said that a woman's heart is like that of a sly fox. If a man cannot control his senses, he becomes a victim of such a sly fox. But if one can control the senses, there is no chance of his being victimized by sly fox-like women." Chanakya Pandit has also advised that if one has a wife like a sly fox, he must immediately give up his life at home and go to the forest. Matayasya grihe nashti varya cha priyavadini aranyam tena gantavyam yataranyam tata griham. Krishna conscious, that's Chanaka Shloka 57. Krishna conscious grihastas must be very careful of the sly fox woman. If the wife at home is obedient and follows her husband in Krishna consciousness, the home is welcome. Otherwise, one should give up one's home and go to the forest. Hidvatma patam griham andakupam vanam gato yet. Varam gato yad harim ashrayeta. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 5. One should go to the forest and take shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, lots of interesting topics here. We have celestial airplanes or UFOs. Gandharvas or extraterrestrials, sex life, the Sarasvati River, and the intelligence of women. So, lots of interesting topics. If you're giving class, you're always praying you don't get a verse like this. But it's like Russian roulette. So, since the purport is about this interesting topic, I'll go to that first. It's important to read and balance everything, you know, Srila Prabhupada said in this purport in order to get a proper understanding. If you just take out one sentence and make that your maha mantra, you may not be getting, you know, the proper understanding. So, for example, Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, unless one is elevated to spiritual consciousness, everyone is conditioned and fallen, what to speak of women who are less intelligent than men. So, unless one is Krishna conscious, everyone is fallen, a cheater of one kind or another. And according to one's nature, one will be fallen and cheat in certain ways, because everyone has a different body, so everyone has a different nature. But that's very important to understand. Unless one is purely Krishna conscious, everyone is fallen. Women have been compared to sudras and vaishyas, striyo vaishyastata sudras. On the spiritual platform, however, when one is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, whether one is a man, woman, sudra, or whatever, everyone is equal. So this is important to understand. On the platform of Krishna consciousness, everyone is equal. You know, that's, this has to be accepted. And in terms of, you know, the material way of looking at things, it says women are compared to sudras and vaishyas in terms of their intelligence, character. And this is on the material platform. But you have to see there that vaishyas and sudras are men. And actually in the modern age, practically everyone's a vaishya or a sudra. So, in terms of their intelligence and character, in terms of the material way of looking at things, you know, you can't make a huge distinction between women and men, because actually in Kali it said Kalo Sudra Sambhava. In age of Kali, by material qualification, everyone's a sudra, every man is a sudra, so some of them get a little intelligent and are able to organize some business activities and make some money. They're vaishyas, but that's not considered according to the Vedic way of looking at things materially. That's not a very high level of intelligence. Of course, in the modern age, we tend to worship people who become billionaires, you know, Bill Gates or, you know, people like that who make a lot of money. We think that's intelligent, but according to the Vedic standard, it's not a very high qualification. That's one factor. So according to that standard, according to this material standard given in Bhagavad Gita in terms of varnas and ashramas, a real qualified brahmana or a real qualified kshatriya would generally be considered more intelligent than the average woman, the average vaishya, the average sudra. But, you know, how many really qualified brahmanas and kshatriyas are there today? I was just reading a purport yesterday in Pune, where I was giving a Bhagavatam class, and Prabhupada was talking about government. And he said, today, there are no Kshatriyas or Brahmanas, real ones. Just Vaishyas and Sudras, and they control everything. So, these are some things that have to be considered when we look over these statements. And the most important one is, again, if we're going to have, a Maha Mantra about this topic, it should be this one. When one is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, whether one is man, woman, sudra, whatever, everyone is equal. So, and even in the material sense, if you want to say, okay, materially speaking, women who are not Krishna conscious can be described as sly foxes or less intelligent or whatever. Still, if someone is, quote, a real man, one doesn't become influenced. Srila Prabhupada says here, if a man cannot control his senses, he becomes a victim of sly foxes. So, if one's controlled in one's senses, one isn't influenced in that way. Then there's some instructions for householders. Krishna conscious grihastas must be very careful of the sly fox woman. If the wife at home is obedient and follows her husband in Krishna consciousness, the home is welcome. So, there's the idea there that for peaceful home life, the wife should defer to the husband. But there's a condition here. It says, should follow the husband in Krishna consciousness. So, that's the condition. So that has to be there. And then if one is Krishna conscious, if the wife is Krishna conscious, the husband is Krishna conscious, their dealings will be mutually pleasing, satisfying to the Lord. And that's ideal life. If they're not Krishna conscious, then perhaps the woman may behave in unpleasing ways, the man may behave in unpleasing ways, and their grihastha life becomes very, very unpleasing. So, if we consider every statement that's made in this purport and properly balance them and understand them, then we get a very balanced, complete picture of this topic. But if we just pick one statement and focus on that to the exclusion of the others, we may get an improper understanding. So, there were other things that I found interesting in these verses that we read today. For example, there's statements about beings coming from other planets. said that Indra was missing Urvashi in his planet, which is not this Earth planet. And he sent the Gandharvas to get her. And Srila Prabhupada says, thus the Gandharvas came to Earth. So many people today are interested in the topic of what they call extraterrestrials, beings from other planets. But because many people are very materialistic, they think all these extraterrestrial beings must be flesh and blood human beings like us, who just have their own science and technology. But according to the Vedic cosmology, there are different categories of extraterrestrial beings, not just one kind. For example, Lord Krishna exists eternally in the spiritual world, but he descends into this world in different forms. There's Krishna's avatars. Sometimes Krishna comes himself. Sometimes his different avatars descend. Rama, Kurma, Matsya, so many avatars are there. They're eternal forms of the personality of Godhead, but they descend from some higher level to appear to humans on this level of reality. So those are also extraterrestrial beings. And there are demigods, as we're seeing here. They have their planets where they live, but they're higher material planets. They don't have exactly the same types of bodies that we do. Their bodies are different, more subtle in a sense. Srila Prabhupada said, to go to the heavenly planets, we have to give up the gross physical body and be situated in a body made of the subtle material elements. But they travel from place to place. They have their vimanas, or spacecraft. So there are vimanas, spacecraft, extraterrestrials, we can call them, from the heavenly planets, who sometimes visit this Earth planet. There are also vimanas from the spiritual world, Vaikuntha airplanes. For example, when Dhruva Maharaj was going back to Godhead, it said he was taken by a Vaikuntha airplane piloted by residents of Vaikuntha. And then there are the demons, who also have, they have places where they live that are not on Earth, that are in some other part of the universe. And sometimes, they come in their vimanas or airplanes, or sometimes they give their airplanes to demoniac kings on earth, like there was the king Shalva, who got from Maya Danava, the engineer of the demons, an airplane, a vimana, and he used it to attack the city of Dwarka. And this airplane was made of metal, said. But Krishna shot it down. So there are, so people are interested in extraterrestrials and spacecraft, but they don't know all the varieties of extraterrestrial beings and spacecraft that there are. In one sense, we're all extraterrestrials because our real home isn't here. We've come from somewhere else. And we're meant to go back there, back home, back to Godhead. So, so those are some interesting topics in these verses. They're very, very big topics about which much could be said, but those are a few thoughts. So, does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes. Yes, Prabhu. Oh, you need the microphone. Okay.
Whether in modern history we have any evidence of any extraterrestrial person coming and somebody witnessing them, like in the scientific community, whether they have found any person like that?
The scientific community is very big, and there are lots of different kinds of scientists who believe lots of different things. But one fact is that at one time or another, most of the scientific communities in the big countries have had what they call search for extraterrestrial intelligence programs. You know, listening for signals from outer space. You know, they think, you know, if there are some extraterrestrial beings, they would try to communicate with us by the same types of communication technology that we use, namely electronic signals. You know, so they have these radio telescopes, you know, with which they've tried to detect, you know, signals, you know, coming from elsewhere. But there are signals coming from other planets. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. Yeah, the signal is coming from Goloka Vrindavan in the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it's being passed down by disciplic succession. So there's a signal transmission system, but it's not exactly what they're thinking. So they should come to understand what the proper thing is. And there are, you know, even within recent history, there have been, you know, we're, the next Purnim is Gaur Purnim. So that means 500 years ago, there was a manifestation of an extraterrestrial being on Earth. As I said, we're all extraterrestrials, so So you know, that was a very big event. And we also speak of some of our acharyas as being sent, you know, directly from the spiritual world. So they would be extraterrestrial beings. And as far as, you know, the UFOs and that type of thing, there are scientific people, military people, other intelligent, respected people who say they have seen these things. I mean, once I was giving a lecture in Germany about my book, Forbidden Archaeology, and there was in the audience, there was a pilot from a big American airline, and he told me afterwards, he said, I was flying across the Atlantic. He was a pilot, you know, flying a 747, one of those big airplanes. And he said, I was flying across the Atlantic, and then I could see something coming straight towards my airplane, very, very fast. And just shortly before it came close to his plane, he said, it went straight up. So he said, I would never say anything about that because it'd be, you know, publicly, because it would be bad for his job. But he told me he saw that. And there have been people who've claimed to see extraterrestrial beings of the standard UFO type. Srila Prabhupada was asked once about, you know, these UFOs and alien beings, you know, the standard kind that, you know, you see in the movies and magazines and things like that. And he said, yes, but they're not on a mission from God. So, and then people of other faiths sometimes report visions of extraterrestrials. There's appearances of the Virgin Mary, for example, you know, things like that. They happen. So it's a big topic. If you want to explore, you know, the scientific evidence for it, you know, Sataputta Prabhu wrote a nice book called Alien Identities, where he looks at this topic from the Vedic point of view and goes over a lot of the scientific evidence for the existence of these extraterrestrial beings. Anything else? Yes?
Hare Krishna. What is the quality of the sly fox which is compared to women or shudras?
What is the quality of sly fox? Fox means being deceptive or cheating. And, okay, a vaishya, for example. Not an honest Vaishnava, you know, like Nanda Maharaj, you know, or something like that. But a Kali Yuga Vaishya will be sly like a fox and cheat. The whole financial crisis, you know, that the world is undergoing now is a result of, you could say, sly fox financiers and people. You know, they were engaging in massive deception, you know, giving mortgages to people in the United States that they knew could not pay for them, and then selling those mortgages as investments to banks all over the world and investors all over the world, knowing that eventually there would be defaults on those mortgages and that the whole thing would collapse, but they got their money. So that can be there. And sudras, they can also cheat. You know, activities of sudras are gambling, cheating, lying, stealing. You have to be sly like a fox to do that. So there can be this fox-like quality can be found in lots of different kinds of people. But it's a feature of material consciousness. So it may be found in women in material consciousness, vaishyas in material consciousness, sudras of material consciousness. And even there was this famous general the Germans had, the Nazis had in World War II. His name was Rommel. You know, they called him the Desert Fox because he's very sneaky in his military tactics. Okay, it's getting late. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki jai.